Hello, Jay McDuffie's here. Tuan Russell is here. And NFL scout for ESPN.com, Matt Williamson, joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, appreciate the time and the flexibility in your schedule. Yesterday got away from us a little bit with the breaking news here in South Florida. We'll start with that. What do you make of the changes the Miami Dolphins have made this week, both in the front office and the coaching staff?
Yeah, big news. And it kind of felt like the axe had to fall somewhere, and I'm not sure that an offensive coordinator coach, you know, change is completely needed, and that keeping the course would have been such a terrible thing. But it did seem like there started to become a disconnect between, you know, Tannehill and the offensive coordinator, and, you know, again, I felt like the axe had to fall for some of the bad things that happened. I think they ended up 26th in the league in offense. The offensive line nightmares, the season ended up so horribly, you know, when the playoffs were right there and you could have grabbed them and it just slipped away and played some bad football to end the season. So, but I also took it positively that when they hired Philbin, I thought Philbin was a very good hire. And I have a hunch that the ownership still believes that, or he'd have been gone too.
There you go. Matt Williamson of ESPN.com with us on the Metro PCS hotline. Aside from the changes in the front office and the coaching staff, when you look back at the Dolphins' 2013 season, the last 2 weeks and the rest of it, what do you kind of take away from this year?
I thought Tannehill made strides, and I think I still believe, as I do a year ago, that he is a franchise quarterback, and I don't throw that term around lightly. I thought they had, you know, if we would have had this conversation in the preseason, I thought they had 7-9 to 9-7 talent, and that's about where they ended up. And you know, there were some extenuating circumstances, especially with the Incognito Martin O-line mess, and I think they have some big decisions to make, and I think moving on from Ireland was probably the right move. I mean, I can have a long list of mistakes that he made, I know, which is easy to do in hindsight for anyone, but his list is pretty long.
Hey Matt, when you think of when you think of our team, and I'm going to put you in a little situation here where I'm going to say, if you were the new GM and you look at the 20 unrestricted and restricted free agents that we have coming up, who's your number one priority? Who are the three or four guys you say, I have to keep these guys, I have to figure out a way to convince them to stay?
Grimes for sure. And I thought Grimes, you know, we can be critical of Ireland, but he got Grimes at a great price and he played great, and that was a home run. Now looking back, you wish you would have signed him to 3 years, you know. But there's, if you look around the league, there's a ton of corners that are prominent players, starters, borderline Pro Bowlers that are coming up for free agency this year that they might cancel each other out, and you might be able to get him not at a discount, but not at an extreme price. So I think you got to bring him back, because I'm not sold with the other corners on the team. And even if you do bring him back, I don't know that it'd be a terrible idea to use a third round pick on a corner. I still like Starks a lot, too. I think Starks is a very good player. Rushes a passer well, scheme versatile, also tough against the run. He's somebody that I would very much – he would be second on my list. And, you know, other than that, there's nobody banging down the door that we have to keep, I don't think.
Matt, look at the rest of the rest of the team, and, you know, you got it with a new GM coming and a new OC. You know, there are some holes, obviously, that need to be filled, especially let's talk about specifically on the offensive side of the ball. You know, offensive line is one thing that we have to address, I think. Would you do that through free agency? Would you try to do that through the draft? Is there talent out there for that? And also, do you think that our skilled athletes that we have on the roster right now on the offensive side of the ball are talented enough to be good enough in this league?
I'm fine with the receivers. You know, you got to remember you're getting guys like Brandon Gibson back, and I think Clay has developed into a true weapon. They have some young tight ends that really haven't a chance to blossom yet. So in terms of pass catchers, I'm fine. I'm fine with Tannehill. I'm fine with the backup. I'm not sold on any of the running backs, to be honest with you. I mean, I had more hope for Lamar Miller a year ago, but I don't think he's an every down back. I think he has too many holes in his game. But that wouldn't be priority number one. I mean, obviously, the offensive line is priority number one, and priority number two and three, really. I mean, I thought Claybo finished the season very well. I think Pouncey might be the best center in the league. I mean, he's a better player than his brother, and people never give him credit for that. But other than that, I don't know who else on the offensive line I'm excited about. Claybo's certainly not young. I think they need to find three starters, more or less, and that's going to be through free agency and the draft.
Matt Williamson, ESPN.com, with us on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. So let's talk a little bit offensive line.
And guys, I apologize, but I mean, of course, it's hindsight, but it'd be sure nice to have Lane Johnson or Brandon Albert right now. You know, I mean, those are guys that were sitting there for the Dolphins that could have been long-term answers.
We'll see how the Deion Jordan thing plays out as well.
Because and that's not his fault. I mean, he might be a great player.
Exactly. All right, but there are, you mentioned free agency and the draft when it comes to offensive tackles and guards, and there's some big names that could very well be out there in free agency based upon how renegotiations go and franchise tagging and all that sort of thing. Brandon Albert, Eugene Monroe, Zach Strief, a couple of the tackles. You got guys in the draft, Matthews from A&M, the kid from Michigan, the kid from Alabama. I mean, any of those kind of jump out to you as they make sense, you know, on paper for the Miami Dolphins in a big, big way?
I think first-round left tackles make a lot of sense for the Dolphins right now, and it's very preliminary, and I don't claim to be a draft expert yet. I mean, I'm an NFL scout before I am with college stuff, but it sounds like Jake Matthews will probably be a top-five pick, and then you mentioned some of the names. Greg Robinson from Auburn just declared as well. There's four or five other offensive tackle prospects that look like they're not going to go super high, but it could go from that 10 to 20 range, and that might work out really well for Miami.
Hey, Matt, down here, this is a big debate. Is it a coach? Was it a coaching issue? Was it a talent issue? Do you feel like the Dolphins got it right with the changes that they've made? Did they make the right changes to help this team move forward?
Depends who they bring in. You know, I mean, I think Ireland needed to go. I would imagine Philbin will more or less take over the offense. You guys probably have a better handle on that than I do. So in that way, I would say chances are it was the right moves. And as it stands right now, I think I can't be critical of it.
Matt, where did this team fall short? And we talk about this run game. This defense is pretty good. You talk about Brent Grimes, talk about Starks a little bit. Where do you think this defense fell short? I know they were pretty good against scoring, and we know they had a tough time against the run. Does that start up front, in the middle, or the guys in the back of them?
I thought a huge mistake, and I was actually very critical of the time, was I thought that Ireland made inside linebacker changes just to make inside linebacker changes, you know, and to have that much invested in a position that really isn't a premium position in terms of where you want to spend your money, and then watching Carlos Dansby have a Pro Bowl season for the Cardinals, I mean, I thought that stings, you know, that we're going to go all in on these two guys, and they weren't terrible players, but you could have used that money on a guard, you know, or just kept status quo and lived with the guys you had. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I thought the safeties were better players a year ago than I think they are now, but maybe they can get back to that level. And, you know, I thought the defensive line all in all was not a problem. And at times I felt like this defense was put in compromised situations more so than other defenses because some of the offense ineptitude, and fixing the offensive run games to me seems like a bigger priority than the defensive run game.
You mentioned a lightning rod kind of name, Carlos Dansby, and we're talking to Matt Williamson from ESPN.com. I know you watch, you know, these games really closely. You watch tape. What was the difference between Carlos Dansby last year and this year? Because you said, he had such a good year this year, but what he did in Arizona this year is not something we saw in Miami during his time here. The kinds of plays that he made this season, he had a great year in Arizona, but it was just nothing that we had seen down here the last several seasons. What was the difference in your mind between Carlos Dansby this year and the last couple?
See, I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but during his stint in Miami, especially at the end, I thought Dansby was very solid, but not spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, no big plays. He never was on SportsCenter. You know, no barn, you know, huge hits or interceptions or sacks. And that came a little easier with the Cardinals. And I think their defensive scheme has a lot to do with it. They're very attacking, Steeler-like 3-4, blitzing inside linebackers, more aggressive with their play calling. He frankly looked a little better too. He moved better. He was a little more explosive. Maybe whenever he was let go, he took his training a little more seriously. I mean, I don't know. I'm totally speculating on that. And he had a better supporting cast. I like the Dolphins defense, but that Cardinals defense is loaded around him.
Matt, when you look at the Dolphin GM job, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation nationally that this is a coveted job. What is your take on that?
I think so. I mean, because you do have a quarterback in place, a young quarterback. The owner has proven to be patient with the GM before you, even though maybe he shouldn't have been. I think your coach in place is the right guy for the job, and there are pieces, especially a quarterback.
All right. Matt Williamson, ESPN.com, on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Always appreciate the insight. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Matt Williamson on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com.